This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, April 7th, the Mind Your P's and V's edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 9, and we live in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Zach Rosen. I host the Best Advice Show podcast, and I live with my family in Detroit. Noah is 4 and Ami is 1.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Goose, and I'm the mom to 3 littles, Henry, whose birthday is today on Thursday, and he is 10, and Oliver, who's 7, and Teddy, who's 5, and we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Happy birthday.
A lot of host kid birthdays. Double digits.
Amazing.
That's big.
I feel old.
That's huge. It is big. Today on the show, we're talking body boundaries. How do you normalize body positivity while also teaching little ones about autonomy and consent? Our listener has 2 little ones and is already running into some problems. Then on Slate Plus, how does parenthood affect happiness? For years, researchers have posited that parenthood negatively affects your happiness, but what if we're measuring the wrong thing? Here's the sneak peek if you have Slate Plus. It's interesting, just this morning, Naima was like, "Is being a mom hard?" I was like, yes. And she was like, "That's so sad."
Aww.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll dive into the peaks and pits of our week.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these 2 policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get started with triumphs and fails. We'll start with you, Zach. What do you have going on this week?
It's a recurring failure. And, you know, we often talk about this, that failure might be too harsh of a word, but it's a challenge we've been facing with Noah, my 4-year-old, who we're noticing has some perfectionism tendencies. Lately, we've been working on writing letters. She's really into spelling her name and our name and the word love, which is really cute. Oh. And she's really, really resistant to letting me, like, show her a letter that she doesn't know. To the point where, like, if I just, like, go and slip over on her page for a second just to show her, you know, what a Z looks like, she is going to crumble. And it's, it's like, you know, Noah, we've talked about this before. Like, you can't possibly know everything. Like, there are so many things that I don't know. I'm practicing all the time. Like, this is what we do as human beings. We learn, we accept, you know, help from people, because otherwise we're just not going to grow, and we're not born with all this knowledge, and learning how to take instruction is just like part of growing up and getting smarter. And she's not hearing that though, because she's like bawling on the floor because I showed her this is how you do a Z, because she wants to do it herself. I think, like I said, this is a recurring issue. I think that the meltdowns have gotten shorter, but it is persistent. And so we're dealing with it, you know, I don't know, once a week or so.
Can I make a suggestion?
No! No!
Because I think this is really common, and one of kind of the homeschool humps I had to get over, which is like, unless you are sitting down to do letter formation with her, and if you do that, I would suggest don't do it with a pen and paper. Do it like with a rice tray or with water or with something else that's like very shake and do it again. Mm-hmm. Don't correct her. If she hands you something, you can say, oh, what does this say? And then she'll say, Zach. And you can say, oh, I make my Z's differently. Mm. And then make your Z, and never say, the way you're doing it is wrong. I would just suggest like, oh, I make my Z's this way.
I like that. What do you mean rice tray? What are you talking about?
Oh, so I taught the kids handwriting in these, like just a little box that I filled with either rice or sand. And you just use your finger. And to trace out the, you know, sort of like an Etch-a-Sketch, but with your finger.
Oh, so the negative space is the letter.
Yeah, you could make it a sand tray. You could make it literally anything, or with a paintbrush and water. But something that like goes away. But I think you should celebrate that she's doing all this right. Like, that's great.
Oh, I think it's so cool. Yeah, it's really exciting for sure. And these are great suggestions, and I'm definitely going to try them. Thank you.
That doesn't mean she won't also be like, well, I make mine this way and walk away.
No, but I think this is a really great suggestion for sure.
Elizabeth, what about you? Triumph or fail this week?
Here, I'm just going to tell you what happened. So the headline is basically that Jeff was out of town, and thanks to my well-meaning like strewing, which is where I just kind of like leave things around and hope the kids find them, of puberty books, I ended up answering all of Henry's questions about wet dreams. Basically, Jeff went out of town for one night on a work trip. Because we're approaching 10, I have been probably the last 6 months, like lots of puberty books and books about body stuff from the library, and just kind of leaving them out and around with the other library books. He sometimes picks them up, sometimes doesn't. But this one called Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Puberty and Shouldn't Be Googling turned out to be a huge hit. So he's been like picking it up and kind of looking at it. It's got a lot of pictures, like drawings. It's kind of specifically about boy anatomy, which I think was one of a lot of the other books I got has all kinds of different stuff in it, which he's sort of interested in. But I think he's much more interested in like what's going to be happening to my body. And there are certainly girls in his class that have already gotten their periods and are starting to go through, you know, puberty and changes that are noticeable. They're all so much taller than the boys, those kind of things. We've had kind of conversations about it, but I had finished putting the little boys to bed and he's like, hey, can you lay and read with me? And I was like, sure, what are you reading? And he's like, this book you got from the library. He's like, it's super interesting. I was like, oh, great. So I lay down next to him and he like opens up this page and he says, this says I'm gonna like pee the bed at night. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, you know, it's not pee, it's ejaculate. We were like talking about all of that. In some ways, we've certainly normalized the conversation, right? So pat on the back, yay, normal conversation. But the entire time he is like asking me these questions, I'm like screaming inside because I feel like this is really something Jeff should be talking. I don't know personally about this. I, you know, didn't have brothers even. It's like, I'm probably the worst person, but I'm the person here. And I didn't want to make it at all like, this is something we shouldn't be talking about or that it's awkward. So I feel like on the surface, I achieved that. On the inside, I was screaming and under the blanket, texting my friend like, you know, WTF, why is this happening? The one night Jeff is gone. Like, how am I answering these questions appropriately? And also without this context of like, I think if it were something that were already happening to him, then maybe he like the questions would be more based in the realm of kind of what the book is talking about. But because we're reading about something that hasn't happened to him or he's not talking about with his friends, you know, there's a lot of confusion. And I tried to just answer what he was asking, which is something I tend to try to do without trying to explain all these other parts, because he's like, what will cause this? And it's like, well, it's just something your body does, but certain thoughts could cause this or certain feelings, you know. But it just was sort of one of those moments where you're like, I hope I am not blowing this. So anyway, I hope that I outwardly was as calm as I think I was, because inwardly I was definitely like, try not to make this awkward. This is a really great first step that he feels like he can ask me these questions and
that
I can provide some kind of answer. Even so, in the end, I was like, your dad might be a better person to discuss some of these with, because he's experienced this and I can't speak from personal experience.
And I think, like, we'll talk about with our listener question, like, it's not a one-off conversation. This is going to be an ongoing thing. So this is like probably the first of many, or not, maybe not even the first, but it's like one of many.
This is certainly the first in which he has asked me something so specific and about him. You know what I mean? Like, we've had other conversations, but it was more about kind of in general, brought on by a question that he sort of got an answer to and then was like, cool. Whereas this, you know, was like, hey, this is going to happen to me. Why would you want this to happen? This sounds terrible. You know, I'm like, well.
Did Jeff talk to him about it later?
All he's done so far is basically ask Jeff to confirm that this is something that will happen. And then he was like, no further questions. So I don't, you know, and Jeff said he was very cool about the whole thing. But yeah, I think now I'm in like the waiting. I don't want this to be a thing where I'm like, we had this conversation. Do you have more questions about this? You know, because I just want it to be something he can open the lines of discussion about.
I mean, I see this as a triumph. Your kid is asking you specific questions that they're curious about things that they don't know the answers to. I think that's good stuff.
I don't feel like I had this kind of conversation with my parents for a variety of reasons, right? But it's
obviously,
like, outside, I'm like, this is good. But inside, I'm like, ah, this is so awkward.
Well, it's going to be awkward. You just buckle up.
That's exactly. I feel like that's what I, Jamil, I should have texted you. You could have just been like, buckle up.
This is how it is.
But Jamil, you had a big weekend. I don't know if that's what you're going to talk about, but
yes, my triumph is getting through the birthday weekend. As I mentioned before, Naima, you know, I'd suggested that instead of doing a big party, like, how about just an intimate dinner, which that's what every kid wants, an intimate dinner. And like, she managed to finesse getting both. Because she got me thinking she was really into the dinner idea. And then, like, she talked to her stepmom and let her know she really wanted to have a party, too. So she had both. One of my best girlfriends and her daughter, we went to a really nice restaurant in Culver City called Etta. It was excellent. We had a nice time. The girls took terrible pictures afterwards. They would not give us smiles. They wanted to just, like, jump and do silly stuff. It was great. And then on Sunday, she had her skating party and more kids from her school came than we knew because she invited more than she told us. But luckily, there were enough goodie bags and cake for all. And a good time was had. And, you know, her friends were all smiles. And, you know, we finally had a California birthday party because, all like, right. Naima had big bashments in New York. We did a big party every year. I was not a birthday party kid growing up, and I was just insistent that Naima was always going to have a birthday party so long as she wanted one. And obviously, the circumstances of the last couple of years prevented us from being able to do that for her. So I'm glad that she's back on the birthday party scene.
Yay!
That's very exciting.
And it was like roller skating, right?
It was roller skating, yeah.
That's so fun. So fun. Did you roller skate? Do you roller skate?
Nope. Sure don't. Sure don't. And it's funny because I feel bad. One of her friends, like, cannot skate and was terrified and was, like, crying and stuff. And I'm like, that's me. I get it, baby. Like, I understand. You know, I think as a child, I would have tried. Mm-hmm. But, like, I only skated a few times as a kid. I just never picked it up. And so the last time I went roller skating was the summer before we moved here. And I definitely busted my butt a lot of times. I used one of those bumper buddy things like a complete clown. You know, this time I was able to use the excuses. I was like, well, I need to kind of, you know, chat with parents.
I'm in charge here. Sure. That's right.
Yeah. like, even though technically I didn't plan it, all I had to do was come and help and be hostess, you know. I was doing that, preparing to cut the cake, all that stuff. All right, well, we are going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into today's listener question. We're back and ready to hear today's question, which is being read, as always, by the lovely Sasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, my 5-year-old son is an incredible big brother to his 2.5-year-old sister. He loves her, includes her in play, and wants to greet her first thing in the morning and after her naps on the weekend. They still take baths together, and we have practically no issues with understanding body boundaries. However, this morning, he was waking up his sister, and when I came into the room maybe 5 minutes later, he proudly told me, "I showed her my pee-pee, and she showed me her pee-pee." Now, they were fully dressed, and I heard them singing on the monitor, so I'm not sure when this would have happened, but it was a triggering comment for me. I immediately told him that even if he's curious, he shouldn't ever just show his private body parts to anyone, and he should never ask to see any of his friends' body parts. At that moment, I was flustered, and I think he was confused why what he said was bad. They've been naked together and have both barged in on me in the shower, and I never back away from curious questions about bodies. But this statement just hit a nerve. Admittedly, as a parent, my biggest fear is children being exposed to sexual abuse, so I feel I might be extra sensitive, but I want to communicate the importance of autonomy, consent, and protection without causing shame or fear. My son loves being naked, and we encourage body positivity, but I don't know how to balance that with the message that his body is his, sister is hers. Have you all discussed this with your kids? Mama with a little P and V.
What do you think, Zach?
So my kids are similarly spaced, almost the same age. You know, I have 4 and 1. It sounds like you're doing great. And what happened, I understand that it touched a nerve, but I also think that it's completely normal. I actually went to this website that I've consulted before. It's called healthychildren.org, and it's the only parenting website backed by 67,000 pediatricians. And they have this list of what is normal. And, you know, looking at or touching a peer's or new sibling's genitals, showing genitals to peers, standing or sitting too close to someone, trying to see peers or adults naked, touching/masturbating genitals in public or private. For kids age 2 through 6, they're saying that those are common behaviors. I know that my friend who has a 6-year-old, he's constantly playing with himself. The less common stuff and perhaps the problematic stuff isn't what your kids are doing. You can refer to that chart at healthychildren.org. We can post a link. But like less common stuff is like rubbing bodies against each other, trying to insert tongue in mouth while kissing, touching peers or adults' genitals, crude mimicking of movements associated with sexual acts. Like, these are things that actually should probably be raising alarm. But what happened is, from as far as I can tell, pretty standard stuff.
I think that's all really good information. So first, like, when you encounter these situations, like I said, I know, like, your inside is just like screaming, and part of parenting is sort of making that screaming stay internal and just being really calm about all of this, right? Like, I understand there's like a lot of scary stuff that happens and that we're worried about, and that these are all learning moments. But another mom once told me, like, try to take the sex part out, because for the kids, that is not something they know about. And then it's just another body part. So how would you describe how you want them to manage this body part? Granted, maybe it has, you know, different restrictions, time, place, that kind of thing, but as just a normal body part. So I was thinking that in this case, setting limits on the time and place for these things. And one of the things that I think might help here is, in the moment or the next time it happens, you know, he says, "I showed her my pee-pee and she showed me her pee-pee," is to say, like, I don't know how specific you want to get, but using some specific language may help too, to understand, like, well, these are different parts and they happen on different people, and we need to respect other people's parts. Because I think here, like Zach said, all of this is very normal. We have three boys and they're naked a lot. And there is a lot of nakedness and penises. And I have to say so many times, we don't touch other people's penises, you know, without their consent, like, mm-hmm. Because that happens with the brothers. But it's a good way for them to learn. And it sounds like the only thing you're really worried about is, like, were they both having fun? Or did somehow the five-year-old, you know, like, use some kind of power dynamic over the 2.5-year-old? And I don't think that's really at issue here, but that's more what you're worried about is, like, right. Was there something happening that didn't feel right versus, like, two kids playing, you know, brother shows his penis and she's like, oh, look what I have. Like, that is all very normal. You know, if you're really worried about it, make sure doors are open. I think it's great that your son told you about it. Like, that yep. to me is such a yep. good thing. Like, he told you and you were able to talk about it. You should really be celebrating that, because I think that opens the doors to further conversations. It seems like we get a lot of letters, though, about, like, how to handle both the privacy issue and the, like, consent issue. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think we can just kind of say things like, you know, you don't see adults out there showing each other their private parts, their penises, their vaginas, their boobs, whatever, right? Like, in general, that's not the kind of behavior that you see from adults out in society. The right time for that is if you want to touch yourself in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in our house, whatever that is. I did want to recommend really quickly two Instagram accounts that I find really helpful. And one is sex_positive_families. That just posts lots of good information and conversation starters and books and things, which is helpful because the conversation is, it's not like you're going to go reapproach this with your child. So having kind of that in the back of your head for when it does happen. And the other one is called Vagina Pop-Up Book. And they have an actual book that they're selling there, but they also are posting lots of very, like, sex positive, body positive stuff for little kids.
Following them now. Thank you.
Definitely. Yeah, I'll just reiterate, you know, as everyone else has said, that this is so normal. I definitely agree with Elizabeth that the fact that your son told you should help you, you know, worry a lot less because he didn't feel the need to hide it or that he might have done something wrong, you know, that you got an honest accounting of what actually took place. You know how brief this was. I would just remind you to, you know, in your next conversation with your kids about this going forward, emphasizing that you understand why they were curious, you know, that there's nothing weird or wrong about wondering what other people's bodies look like. And that's why we have books. That's why we have these Instagram accounts. You know, that's why you have your parents who can help you understand what you need to know, you know. And I'm personally in favor of specificity when it comes to the terms. You know, 2.5-year-old is old enough for penis and vagina, you know. Now that they've seen one, you know, it just makes a lot of sense that you would give them the proper term for it. And let this be, you know, what kicks off some open conversations about bodies and differences and sexuality in your household. And it may be starting a little bit sooner than you expected with a 2.5-year-old. You know, there's still some foundational stuff that you can talk about with your littlest one while, you know, ensuring that your eldest is super clear on the importance. And I think both of them really are at ages, you know, because they're school age, where you have to talk to them about consent and, you know, the fact that other people are not to engage with their bodies.
Yeah. And just to put a point on this consent question or just idea, which is just kind of ubiquitous in our house, like, we say my body, my choice a lot. We can extrapolate this out to, like, we can let our kids and should let our kids, I think, like, decide who and who they don't want to, like, touch and hug. Like, you know, if they don't feel comfortable with, like, their grandpa kissing them, like, we should be teaching them that that's okay to enforce that yeah. boundary. And then this is all going to, you know, come back to help them now and later to, you know, to figure out what is and isn't okay according to how they're feeling, which is, like, what it should be about. And, you know, yeah. doing so kindly.
Oh, yeah.
Saying no, thank you, obviously, not just, like, pushing your grandpa's bifocals away.
And also, like, bodily autonomy being one of the times in which, you know, particularly for kids who struggle to say no or to challenge adult authority or even to challenge other children, that it's really important to assert those boundaries. And though you might not typically feel okay saying no thank you to your grandmother, this is one of those times where it's really important that you do so.
Yep.
If that's how you're feeling.
Right.
Well, thank you, Mom, with a little P and V. We hope this conversation helps. Please give us an update and let us know how it's going. And everyone else, if you have a question for us, send it to momanddad@slate.com. And that's it for our show. We'll be back in your feeds bright and early on Monday with some more conundrums and recommendations. Subscribe to our feed so you don't miss it. Also, if you rely on this show for parenting advice, consider signing up for Slate Plus. It's the best way to support the show. Members will never hear another ad on our podcast or any other Slate podcast, and you'll get bonus content on this show and your other Slate favorites. To sign up now, go to slate.com/momanddadplus. Again, that's slate.com/momanddadplus. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Jasmine Ellis. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Zach Rosen, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thank you for listening.